A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome to Live Life Better from Virgin. I'm Melissa Hemsley, I'm a cook, writer and champion of sustainable, nourishing food. In this series, we're looking at how we can use our senses to enhance our lives. Be it sound, sight, taste, touch and today's sense, smell. In the studio today, I have Odette Toilette, aka Lizzie Ostrom, a smell enthusiast and the author of Perfume, A Century of Scents. Hello, Lizzie.
Hello.
And we have Nico Dafkos from multisensorial lifestyle brand Earl of East. Hello, Nico.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Also coming up, I'll be talking to Annie de Mamiel, a well-being expert and aromatherapist championed by the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow and me. Lizzie, Nico, firstly, can I ask you, are you wearing a fragrance today?
I am wearing a perfume that both Paul and my husband and I wore on the day we got married. So,
Are you feeling celebratory? That's why you're here today and you're like, I want to capture some of that.
The truth is, I got it gifted over the holiday season. So it's still there. It's still available. That's what I put on.
It's fresh and new. Lovely.
Yeah, of course I am.
Of course you are. Is it a classic one for the day of the week or...?
Yes, I have a fragrance for every hour of every day. And I switch. No, I would love to say I had this incredibly complex system for selecting or a vending machine at home. But being very honest, I opened the cupboard very tired this morning and just went, ugh, and reached for one. But often by the end of the day, I might have four or five on at one time because I have to smell lots of stuff and try it out. So, yeah, might have a few bits.
There could be bits and bobs.
They're bits and bobs everywhere.
Merging. Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that and talk about the different French words to decipher. But talk us through olfactory. Talk us through the process and what that means.
Well, so the olfactory sense is how we describe our sense of smell. And the sense of smell broadly works to sort of give an overview version. When you are breathing in or you're chewing on food and breathing out again and you've got airflow going through your sinuses or through your nose, volatile molecules dissolve in your mucous membranes up in your nose, and olfactory sense receptors quite far up. I can't show you.
But she's trying to sort
I'm
of show.
I'm sticking a pipe cleaner up my nose. receive these molecules and then send signals through neural pathways. Mm-hmm. So imagine a load of sort of cables that all come together in a place called the olfactory bulb, which sits sort of at the base of the skull. So the olfactory bulb then transmits these signals to the limbic part of the brain, which are then sort of decoded. And we decode smells in several ways. And it's really interesting to break these down because we don't really know, you know, we're not told about these different sort of olfactory abilities. So first is, can we smell something? So there's often a threshold for this. So some of the population have a very sensitive, low threshold for smelling certain things, and others it's much higher. Then you have a process of recognition. So, you know, do I recognise what I'm smelling? And then often what comes first is the sort of emotional or mood connotation of that smell. So you're sort of searching for a previous association with that smell. Mm. So say you're smelling like a cup of coffee. If you love coffee, you're getting that association. This is just the best thing ever. But then the other thing that's often really tricky that we do when we smell is then the identification.
that process that Lizzie just described. In our workshops, we simplify that a lot. We talk about those molecules that carry scent information as keys, and that process of those keys traveling through all the different stages in within the organs and behind the scenes, if you like, as ultimately reaching a keyhole, which then basically the key slots into, it opens up the door for us to experience scent. And that's basically the simplified version.
That's much better than my version.
I liked both your versions.
Yeah.
And your workshops. Yes.
Yeah,
so did the workshops come about because everyone was in love with your candles and they just, when you love something, right, you want to learn more?
I think also smell is probably the one sense that gets the least attention in our day to day.
Yes.
And I think over the last couple of years, I think there's been a move towards, you know, aromatherapy and really finding out more about scent and what it is we like. Because, I mean, we all carry noses in the middle of our faces. We all experience scents. And it's just a shame that the public was made to feel that we were not educated enough to be part of that conversation. So I think out of that need, we are self-starters. We self-taught blending and working with scent. So we wanted to share that with our customers. And I think there is a huge group of people that are also interested in and wanting to find out more without, you know, feeling intimidated.
Mm.
We do an exercise, which is the blind smell test, where we pass around different oils for people to smell, but the game is not to figure out what it is. So the identification Lizzie was mentioning, we steer away from that. We want people to approach it much more creatively. Think of colours, think of places, think of emotions,
fantastic.
Think of memories, and let their mind really go with it.
Well, speaking of memories, why does smell, Lizzie, have such a strong link to memory?
Yeah, I think because smell is invisible and intangible and difficult to communicate, but also unbearably nostalgic. It's like the presence of someone, you know, it's like their ghost and they might be gone from our lives. So I think it's that combination of the fact it's vivid and the ache you might get from it.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, what does your house smell like now as a grown-up? And what did your house smell like when you were a child? Like, what's your child smell?
My child smell must be cumin, because my grandmother used cumin in literally every dish she cooked.
Yeah.
Cumin all
cumin
the way.
And everything.
And the smell
it's
of...
It's a lovely smell to have.
I love cumin. And I grew up in a Greek Orthodox family, so a lot of churchy type of scents, which are still amongst my favourites. Not that I'm overly religious, but it's just that memory and that association I have with that scent and cumin brings me straight to my grandmother, and it's great times.
Yeah. And now, what does your smell like?
Well,
how smell like now?
Now it's much more sophisticated. No. No, now it has changed simply because obviously we create home scents, and every room has a different scent, and also every time we trial something, we will trial it at home. So at the entrance at the minute, we have something which is more welcoming, which is an essential oil blend that we've created. Then in the living room, which is the darker room, it's a cozy smoky scent, it's smoke and musk that we're burning. In the kitchen, we've got greenhouse and wildflower.
Oh, lovely.
And then in the bedrooms, we burn Atlas Cedar, which is more calming and more cleaner.
And so, what's good for the bathroom?
Well, the bathroom depends on
what you're using it for. If it's wind down for a bath or wake up and...
So the essential oil blend, we have it also as a candle and a bath salt. So we use them, which is it's a blend of peppermint, eucalyptus and mandarin.
Nice.
To get you out of bed in the morning. And then if you want to wind down in the evening, we got you covered. It's a blend of black pepper, oak moss and cedarwood, which is more calming.
Mm. And Lizzie, what about you? What moods do you create at home?
And
what was your childhood smell?
My childhood smell. I just remember the different plastic smells and the vinyls of all the different toys.
What were you going to say, like plasticine?
Plasticine as well. And was it Fimo or Fimo, that clay you baked in the oven?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had a strawberry shortcake doll as well, who still, she was in my parents' attic. So a doll with a squeezable tummy and she smells of strawberries and it still smells. I have
that
had that doll. It's 30 years old and it still smells. Now, I do love anything incense, and I love Japanese incense in particular. It's quite hard to get the really good stuff in London, and the best incense I ever tried was, I hosted a Kodo ceremony, and Kodo is the Japanese way of incense, and very traditional incense is basically a tiny chip of wood, of agar wood, and it's put onto coals in a ceramic vessel and passed around. from person to person. So you sit in a circle and you pass the incense round, and you have an incredibly focused smelling session where you might hold it for 30 seconds and you've got a certain way of smelling and cupping the pot, and then you pass it round.
So it's not like a passive thing. It's where everyone has the responsibility to go around and
a responsibility,
have the
sat smell. Yeah. And it's a really,
is that the ceremony of it all?
It's a ceremony
to get everybody involved.
Yeah. So it's as elaborate as the tea ceremony would be, and of course, what the smell is important. This is gorgeous agar wood, but how you're smelling,
yeah,
and the ritual around it.
And taking the time,
yeah,
to stop and smell.
Exactly.
Speaking of taking the time to, you know, like stop and smell the roses and all of that, and how we've been speaking quite a lot throughout the series about pollution, and in terms of smell pollution, do you feel when you're out and about that you feel quite assaulted by scents?
So I think one of the problems with smell is this idea that there is this like coterie of super, I mean, there are super tasters and super, but you know, those who are sort of wafting above us, smelling everything, and who've got this sort of superpower sense of smell, and that everyone else is somehow
basic.
And that's not true. And I don't think I do have a better sense of smell. I just think about it more. I don't think I smell better.
Do you interpret it?
Yeah,
it's just,
I think interpreting it, and I guess I've learned different ways over the years of thinking about smell or responding to it. But anyone can do that, yeah. And you don't need to be special.
I agree. Like, I don't think there is any way to really claim that you're a nose. I really don't believe in that. It's more about really following up on that and allowing your brain to take you places and really follow up on the scent. Basically, our entire range is inspired by places that we've been to. So we always try to retell a story of a place that we've visited on holidays or from childhood memory. So we walk around not necessarily smelling, you know, whatever plants and dishes we're going to experience there. It's more the notion of the place and the experience we had, and how can you replicate that through scent without being too literal?
Mm. Have you ever gone through all the stages of making and then lit the candle, smelt it, and just burst into tears because you're like, I've just got that so right?
Yeah, well, I didn't burst into tears, but
get a shiver.
One of the latest ones, it was pretty spot on, and it's a beautiful blend between tuberose on one end and then Kate on the other end, and a lot of other things in between, and it's just such a nice scent. We launched it last summer, and people didn't really respond to it because it was too, it's quite heavy, it's quite woody, it's quite smoky.
Summer.
Exactly. So people didn't really react to it. And then come October and into like still today, it's become a bestseller, which is super interesting.
I've got here this fact from Journal Science. They say our noses can smell at least 1 trillion distinct scents. And Lizzie, your book, Perfume, A Century of Scents, tell us a bit about it. What inspired you to write this?
What I wanted to do was a pop culture romp through the 20th century through 100 perfumes. It was quite hard to do that, as I found out, because it was partly about making these stories accessible again. And perfume is... It's such a fascinating product because it's so many things. It's a beauty product. It is a commercial product. I mean, if you think about the link between perfume and marketing and advertising, that's a huge subject in itself. It's a science. It is an art. And when you bring all these things together, you've got some fascinating stories. And it's a subject where in this book, I was bringing together my own stories about these perfumes, whether it is Chanel No. 5 or Brut or CK1 or, you know, Yardley Lavender, all those classics. But hopefully giving space for the reader to go, this has helped me remember my story about this perfume.
How long did that take you to get that together? That's quite a lot.
It took a year, but not... I'd been doing... For a while before writing at these events where we would time travel through perfume. So each event we'd take a decade and we'd smell the scents that shaped that decade. And then what I would do is I'd contextualize them. So we might be watching, you know, like a movie clip from the 50s or a film noir, one of the Raymond Chandlers. And then we'd be smelling a scent that came out in the 40s that was responding to this idea of the femme fatale. So I'd already done a lot of the work, thankfully. And it was about reformatting it for a book.
Mm. What's the smell of like the late 80s, would you say? I think my mum used to, I think my mum used the same bottle of Issey Miyake for like 30 years.
Issey Miyake so was... That was...
All of Olay, I think of, like Primrose Oil and her creams. What were the big smells?
The big smells of the 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, well, so it's really interesting because you've got this war between really heavy, sort of almost indolic, like animalic, or meets bubblegum florals, like sort of Giorgio Beverly Hills, if you remember that, which interestingly, a lot of them had tuberose notes, but... That's the great thing about perfumery. You can take a material or an ingredient like tuberose and you can skew it so many different ways, from really eucalyptusy through to kind of almost suffocating powderiness. So those were really popular. Then they gave way or sort of were at war with then the more aquatic, you know, oceany cool water stuff that was coming through. And green tea was very early 90s.
Yes.
And of course, Issey Miyake, those kind of spicy citruses.
Yeah.
Sunflowers by Elizabeth Arden was very popular at one point. I don't know if you remember that one.
What was it? Angel. Like, I remember that was so sweet.
Oh my gosh.
Angel has ethyl maltol in it, which smells like sort of burnt sugar. And
makes sense.
That, do you know what? I think of that smell. Do you know where I am? I am rollerblading or ice skating around the Guildford Spectrum, desperately hoping this boy will kiss me when I catch up with him.
And actually, Angel... It was so successful after a few years it got going. It spawned this whole kind of two-decade-long obsession with these sort of gourmand, fruity, caramelly scents. Mm. So if you think of a lot of the celeb fragrances that followed, and that sort of trend is only just going.
It's funny because I think I like quite oud woody smells, and what the perfume industry may say is the manly smell. But do you think there's going to be less? It's just going to be unisex smells from now on. What do you think, Nico?
I mean, the whole idea of feminine and masculine scents is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It does not make any sense.
Just another way to sell to us, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why it was implemented. And again, it's like saying, you know, pasta carbonara is for men, bolognese is for women. You stick to your guns.
Crazy talk.
Doesn't make sense. I think there is already in the last, I think, 5 to 10 years probably, there has been a move back to unisex scents. Brands like Aesop, Le Labo, Diptyque even, they just launch a scent in perfume, in candles, in whatever you like, and it's up to you to decide if it's for you or not.
Yeah.
There is no gender association needed, really, which makes total sense.
I would absolutely agree that's been happening, but I think maybe still a reluctance to let go of these sort of gender paradigms in a way, because perfume traditionally, certainly since the 1930s onwards, was attached to a face. You know, like, because there's this issue, how do you sell a perfume when you can't smell it? How do you entice someone in? And the way that, you know, marketeers developed is you have to have somebody aspirational that you want to be, right? And you want to copy them. So, you know, you would look to your role model. I think now what has happened as well is because new fragrances aren't inspired by people, or they're not about emulating someone or having a particular sort of status or lifestyle, and it's more about sort of travel or concept, I think that the gender neutral thing will go more mainstream. But if you've got access to the kind of stores or places to buy these newer brands, that's one thing. But a lot of us are still living in town centres where we don't necessarily have that choice. And it's like pour on, pour femme. Mm. You know, that's still the main way a lot of us shop for fragrance.
Mm. We touched a bit earlier on, Nico, when you were telling us about your smells in the bathroom by day and by night for relaxing and rejuvenating. Can we talk more about how smells affect our moods? I mean, I work from home, so I sort of have my specific candle that I burn during the day and then one in the evening. Do people come in? I mean, when they come into the shop and they say, right, I'm stressed, I can't sleep.
It's quite interesting. When
you're like a doctor helping them out.
It's quite funny. When somebody comes into, it really depends on the time of year and how they feel and who they're buying for and what they're buying for. I think the questions, because we have currently 10 scents in the line, and when people come in, they smell it all and then they don't know what to do with it.
Did you get some stressed noses in there?
Oh my God, all the time. Basically, the questionnaire starts with, who are you buying for and what room?
Yeah.
From then on, we can help, help out. A lot of people, when it comes to springtime or when they're ready for spring, I think we're right now in that kind of season.
I'm so ready for spring.
Yeah. Mm. So we see an uplift with our scents, which smell a bit fresher and a bit more springy. Things like greenhouse, is suddenly the bestseller. Wildflower, which is super floral. Whereas when it's winter and it's cozy, people go for Smoke and Musk. When people look for something for their pregnant friend,
yes,
they look again for something calming, which isn't too offending. When you work from home, you'll need something to help you focus. Cedarwood is known to help you focus, so we always recommend our Atlas Cedar. So yeah, there is a benefit of choosing the right scent for the right mood, moment, room, and we're there to help.
You're there to help. And moving even past mood, what relationship does smell have with our general health, Lizzie?
This is such an interesting subject, this idea of smell and the health and our bodies. It's a tricky one again, because I think we may be a bit squeamish about thinking about body odour. But, you know, let's start.
I was called Smelly Melly when I was a child.
Yeah. So there's increasingly research on how smell can act as a tell for different diseases and health conditions. And some listeners may have followed over the last couple of years various people who can smell Parkinson's disease, for example. And in some Sanskrit texts, there was some detail on how you can use different smells to differentiate problems in the body and illnesses. And then the medical profession sort of forgot about this, or it was deprivileged as a way of diagnosing illness. But because of this work in Parkinson's, there's now lots of research looking at the body and the smells that the body emits. So in Parkinson's disease, changes in the brain lead to different hormone functions, which then affect the growth of different bacteria in sebum. So Parkinson's is identified now. If you smell the collar of the shirts of people who have Parkinson's, the sebum that they give off smells much more sort of musky. So arguably, different health conditions will affect different parts of the body and its bacteria in particular.
And you've got medical detection dogs as well.
Medical detection dogs, digital noses that basically code every distinct smell and then can sort of match it to a database. So it's going to be a really fascinating time. Yes, there's the sort of specialist medical use of this, but actually, again, going back to sort of being in tune with our bodies and what's going on, just by sort of being exposed to smells or thinking about smell and the smell of our sweat and how that might vary day to day, we might be able to spot patterns.
Yeah, very interesting. So talking about smells in the sense of health and therapy, I spoke to my friend aromatherapist Annie DeMamiel earlier, and we'll be hearing from her after the break.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Finding happiness in a satisfying and fulfilling career can be a challenge. But when you throw additional barriers into the mix, the idea of job satisfaction can seem like an unattainable goal.
Why don't you start by telling me a little bit about the most shameful mistake you've ever made in your life?
Shameful mistake?
And hold for, I asked that just to offer a sense of what is effectively the question I'm asked every time I apply for a job.
Breaking Barriers is a groundbreaking podcast series. In each episode, two people come together to have an open and frank conversation about barriers in the workplace. I'm Yasmin Abdelmajid, and I'll be guiding you through each episode. The whole series is available right now on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you happen to be listening. Breaking Barriers, an original podcast from Virgin.
Hello, Annie. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited because I thought to myself, when we were planning the podcast, I thought you would be amazing in any of the podcasts, Touch, all of them. And here you are on Smell, and I can't believe I've got you because you're often on the East Coast or West Coast of America, aren't you? Or up in the sky.
I seem to be spending more and more time up in the sky of late.
Yeah. And so speaking of up in the sky, because this is a lovely connection, we obviously know each other really well and you've been looking after me aromatherapy-wise and acupuncture-wise and skin-wise for about 5 years. But tell us what you do for Virgin, because I didn't know this that well.
So a few years ago, we designed a treatment for the Virgin Clubhouse called Unwind and for Rest Easy. And it was a really exciting project because it was about helping customers for their journey through the airport. And when they got on the plane, they were ready to either fall asleep or focus a little and do a little bit of rest. But we also designed the scents for the upper class towels. And the other lovely little thing is we had a little stint on Necker Island and our altitude oil was on Necker Island and it was one of the take-home gifts.
That is amazing because when you're going for a big long flight, whether your end goal is a holiday destination or you're going for business, as many of us fly for business, yeah, it makes complete sense that the second you step onto that plane, you're either ready to rest and enjoy the movies or read or just have some time without your phone, or you need to sleep because it's an overnight flight. So that's amazing that they spotted that connection. And I mean, and those products as well, obviously you've got that whole range for sale online and so on. But is that your, I think you told me once before, your sleep series is your best-selling range.
It's along there with the altitude oil. And it really is, you know, it's about looking at what's keeping you awake. So all of those elements that are actually in there, like that keeps bubbling through our mind and are just literally keeping us awake. But for the Virgin customer, it was about just completing that journey and helping them to arrive in the place where they're going to, alive and rested and ready to start their day so they could literally hit the ground running.
Because that is the point of sleep, isn't it?
Yes.
And it seems that we've talked lots about it on the podcast in the last series and this series, and it just keeps coming back. And I think in every episode of the senses, you know, smell, sight, sound, so on, we have always touched on stress in every single podcast because it seems to be the biggest thing affecting our day-to-day lives.
You know, for me, everything is centered around stress. So that's actually a really, really good starting point in that whether it's that daily stress that we take from day to day, it's chronic stress, and it affects us on a physical level, on our skin, on an emotional level, and the way that we're feeling at that very cellular level. So that constant pumping of hormones through our body really affects us. And the wonderful thing about smell and aroma is that it is actually, you know, one of our most primitive smells, and it's connected to the deepest part of our brain. And, you know, essential oils are very much a part of that.
Powerful stuff. And I've been lucky enough to go visit your farm, haven't I? So could you tell, for anyone that's interested in what, I mean, I know I've been to your farm, I've seen your offices, I've seen all your books and research. I couldn't possibly ask you to name your favourite essential oils, but how about some that you particularly love at the moment, or a British grown, or I don't know, just tell us a few things that people might not know. I think everyone knows about lavender for relaxing and so on, and rose, but what about some other ones?
So I've got some real favourites. There's probably three that immediately spring to mind. One of them is Fragonia, which is this amazing oil grown in southwest Western Australia. And it's a floral tea tree. It has the potency and the efficacy of tea tree, but it's just like a floral version of that.
Fragonia.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And the sad thing is that about 2 years ago, there's only one farmer who's currently distills it. So it's really precious. And a bushfire came and wiped out everything.
No.
So they're only just getting back on their feet. But, you know, we're very, very lucky to have that lovely close relationship with them. But I think it's such a powerful oil. It's brilliant because it resets the body clock and the circadian rhythm. So for jet lag and things like that, it's one of those really, really amazing oils. I think I have it in nearly all of the skincare products.
Oh my gosh, it's so precious then.
Yeah, Yeah, its antibacterial properties is just incredible.
And what other ingredients do you love?
So Palo Santo is one of my most favourite. Oh, gosh. It's creamy and rich and spiritual. And it's like wrapping yourself in a cashmere blanket. It's just, it's amazing. And it just always makes me feel really centred and grounded. And I'll always burn that before blending.
When you're creating yourself and when you're working.
Yes, yeah. I'll sort of move between Palo Santo and frankincense to burn in that way. But it's very clearing. It was called the holy wood. And I think thirdly is the lovely Cape chamomile, which is grown in South Africa. And we've done an amazing project with a farmer there who's actually growing a crop for us because it has an incredible impact on stress. It's one of those blue oils which we've sort of seen a little bit that are coming through in different products these days. So it has an effect on calming and nervousness, but its efficacy on the skin is also extraordinary.
So good for anxiety, another huge problem at the moment. Yeah, so I was just thinking, smell is obviously what you sell. It's also what you use to create, like you're saying, you burn Palo Santo or something else while you're working. Tell us a bit about you and Damamiel, your business, and how you got started and why smell is at the heart of what you do.
I think it kept calling me. It's really interesting. So I guess, you know, we all have had events in our lives that have pulled us in an interesting direction. And when I was doing my internship in China, and it sort of pulled it all together for me in that I saw in a very ancient way the use of essential oils. I'd had experience through going through a time when I was very sick and poorly, and these elements helped me. But I'd never really considered that and pulling that into what I did from that scientific perspective. But for me, I look at it and the science is why it works. And now that there's more amazing research coming out around essential oils, what they do to the body and how they actually create change within us. And that's the bit that I find really exciting.
Yeah, you light up. You're amazing. Annie, we've got to finish now. I'm really sad to say, before I let you go, could you give us a couple of tips to anyone listening at home, how they could bring aromatherapy into their home in the very basic way to start with, till they fall in love with it and they want more?
I think it's about working out what it is that you want to feel and how you want to change, or if you're a bit sluggish and things like that. So an amazing little tip is with your altitude oil that we talked about before, sprinkling some on the shower floor of a morning. The hot water just helps to open you up, and you know, it's like inspiration of your lungs, and it inspires us to just keep going.
It's like an amazing waterfall spa treatment in the shower. I like that. I'm going to do that.
And other lovely things, you know, the bath is always an incredible place. And you just have, you know, a few of your own little essential oils and you can make whatever it is that you want to. You know, and if you don't like putting them in the bath, then just put them in the basin next to you full of hot water so you get the aromatherapy effects of it. You know, some sandalwood, which is, you know, lovely and grounding, and some frankincense, which is protecting. But try and explore. See, you know, what you like, what you love, and just play with it.
Yeah.
You know, rose is beautiful for the heart and for sleeping. If our mind's just going a bit bonkers and there's a to-do list running around in our mind, to try and settle us, you know, some lovely rose is really lovely, a little sort of dot on the pillow or on a tissue under the pillow so you can smell it through
Gorgeous.
The night.
The important thing as well to say is you were talking so much about the quality of what you buy. So I think if anyone's listening and hasn't got any oils, is you can buy them super small, but spend on quality and look for dark bottles. The good brands will sell in dark bottles, won't they? And get one, treat yourself, or, you know, ask for it for your birthday or Mother's Day or whatever, and give it a go. I remember one of my best friends and I, when we first started getting into oils, we used to buy one each and swap it. You know, someone at the beginning of the school week would have one oil and someone would, and then we'd swap it until we ran out and could afford our next bottle.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Thank you so much, Annie, for coming in.
Thanks,
see you
Melissa.
Soon.
Take care of you. Bye.
Thank you again, Annie, for giving us an insight into the world of aromatherapy. So, Lizzie and Nico, back to you. Annie is obviously very interested in the healing properties of scent. We spoke a little bit before that's something that's interesting to you too. Are there, on a personal level, any smells that you really, really love as you, Lizzie as you and Nico as you, separate from your brands and your workshops? What's your thing?
So, the smells that I am or would always want to carry with me to my grave.
What's going in there?
Love a bit of smoky tea. Lapsang tea is just, I'll always be interested in smelling that forever. Because I think it's so weird. It's like a sort of tea, but also a landscape and a time of year. Because it just makes me think of October for some reason. I'll always be obsessed with the smell of Marmite. I'm a very proud Marmite lover. And like, I do smell that quite sort of compulsively at times. And this sounds really odd, but I've got certain people in my life, not necessarily just my husband, but friends, where I just love the smell of them. And I don't kind of, I try not to sort of go up to them and freak them out.
Mm.
But when we're smelling different people, it's really hard to describe, right? Mm-hmm. Like why you smell different to you and what is it about it? So I don't have a verbal response, but I'm just trying to sort of build up that bank. And it's just such an important part of someone.
Have you got me in your bank yet? Have you sniffed me? Well, we didn't get too close at the beginning, maybe at the end.
We'll have to have some moments together.
Do you know, I've never really inquired too much to my mum, but my mum's Filipino. And I thought it was her, but then I realised all my aunties and all the mums, all the women that are older than me are my aunties. And when they greet each other, they don't go, mwah, mwah, kiss. They sniff you, so they go to your left side and to your right.
How interesting.
That and I've never really understood that. And I thought it was my mum's thing, then I thought it was people close to us, and then I realised it's lots of Filipino people. Nico, what smell do you have that makes you feel better?
I love neroli. Mm. Like, absolutely love neroli. And I adore Palo Santo.
Oh, yes.
Those two. It's quite funny because after hearing you talk about the Filipino tradition, in German we have a saying, when you don't like someone, you say, I can't stand smelling you, which is also quite interesting.
You say it to them.
You go like, I can't stand smelling you. But I think it's so true. It's like what you're saying, right? You want to smell people and get a sense of them.
Mm.
And clearly it's a tradition elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it has an effect on us. Whatever we smell, we instantly make a quick judgment. We process that information unconsciously, and it helps us, I guess, navigate through this world.
You said before, Lizzie, that you've got friends that you love the smell of and you've banked that up. Have you got any people in your life, or maybe colleagues or something, where you don't like the smell but you like everything else about them, but just something jars with the, obviously you're not going to tell them because you're friends, but have you got any smells that you really find offensive?
When I had Leora, my daughter, people give you their baby clothes that they want to get rid of. And it's the smell of their house. Like, I get these clothes and be like, yeah, that smells like your house. I'd never realised before. Plus whatever Lenore they're using. And with some of them, I was really into it. And then a few places, I hope you're not listening, or I won't identify, I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh dear. And I'd have to wash them again. And it wasn't a bad smell.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yes.
But I just didn't accept it and had to sort of
banish them.
And had to make it smell like our stuff again.
For it to make sense in the home. But what is that about? You know how some people, they have got a lovely smell, but maybe they overpower. I mean, I'd like to know, because my mum, sorry to talk about my mum, but her Issey Miyake that I told you she made last for like 20 years, you know, even 3 decades, she would always take the perfume and just spritz it against her finger, and then like just the tiniest bit, touch it all over herself. The whole process took ages. Because she was like, it's so expensive and so precious. But if I ever put perfume on, I think I'm really, and I know the trick, right? You don't rub your wrists together. You don't bash the perfume. But she'll always be like, oh, Mel, like too much. I'm like, Mum, that is not too much. But do you have any tips for people when they are putting on perfume? How do we know when it's too much? And you know, even if it is a lovely smell, like, is it one spritz? Do we walk into it? Do we walk into the waft? What are your tips?
Well, personally, not speaking as an expert here, I think you do whatever feels good.
Yeah.
And whatever makes you feel better about yourself, you just go for it. I don't know. I think overcomplicating how I apply a perfume, I don't know.
I'm reading too much into it, am I? Do you agree, Lizzie?
I do.
Is it my mum's hang-up she's given me?
You do what you want. Some perfume, also every perfume is different. So some of them, you do have to go wild because they're not particularly concentrated. You just keep going. And others can be a sort of spray and pray and hope you haven't overdone it because they're really...
Oh, I like that.
So you've just got to sort of you know, learn through trial and error. Yeah. But all this, even bashing wrists together, I wouldn't worry too
really?
Much.
Oh, well, it's God, not I've like just been wasting my life.
It's not like they're peas you're going to squash. Like, they're so tiny.
I thought it was the volatile molecules
well,
or something.
I mean, I just think rubbing your wrist for a couple of seconds...
I can't do too much damage.
It's not going to do too much damage.
Okay,
I doubt you'd notice.
I'll take that anxiety off my anxiety list. Is there anything you can't smell anymore because it just makes you so sad?
Oh
gosh, everyone's gone very quiet looking at the floor.
No, I don't think I have any scent that I associate with anyone that would make me feel sad about it. There is obviously the scents which remind me of my grandmother who's not around anymore. Yeah. That's a different type of sadness. And yes, those do exist. I don't live home anymore. So whenever I get homesick, it's the smell of, you know, home.
I think there are smells that I found hard, but what can be quite good is if you keep smelling them and like go make yourself go through it and smell them in a more positive sort of place or state of mind, you will eventually
come out the other
be
side.
Be able to override it because you've got to build new associations. I mean, maybe it's not worth it if it's some like Calvin Klein, whatever. I mean, you don't have to, but if you really love the smell and you're sad you can't go there anymore, just keep going with it and it might get better.
You know what there is though, when you've discovered a scent that you love wearing and then you walk into a new job and somebody else has already claimed that scent.
Oh yeah, they've marked their territory.
Yeah, and then what do you do?
Let me ask you, what do you do, Nico?
You basically have to find another scent.
I did want to say, you know, I've been oodwooding for the last 10 years. I like a little bit of orange blossom now. You know, I think I'd like to explore new scents. How do I go about that? And I do want to feel confident and I do want to, I want all the things that probably everyone else wants. What do I do? How do I find this?
Well, if you have time and leisure to do this, what I would personally recommend, get some sample packs, basically. So it does involve spending more money, but I think you need to order in a load for your home.
Like internet dating with perfumes.
It's like internet dating with perfumes. Yes, exactly. Now, some stores, yours included, are delightful. But a lot of us, we're smelling different perfumes in a department store or a chemist. And when we're talking about like falling in love with a smell, we were talking about positive associations, right? We form a positive association by smelling these scents in places that make us happy or in situations that make us happy. So if you can order a load in and try them out at a time that feels right, you give yourself the space to explore. So one of my colleagues, when I worked on an exhibition, she would order loads of samples. And every day when she took her dog for a walk, she'd wear a different one and go for a walk through the woods and see how it made her feel and give it a couple of hours. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, I don't think going, right, you want confidence, you need to wear neroli, or you want to be sexy, you should wear a Ylang Ylang. I don't think that's particularly helpful. Because
I just think I might have bought some Ylang Ylang at the body shop when I was about 16 smell
which
sexy.
Really, is Ylang Ylang supposed to be sexy?
It's supposed to be, well.
Is it not for you, Nico?
I find it way too creamy and rich. I don't see any sexiness in it.
Oh, there we go. Well, there I was going wrong.
The other thing is we need to find our own way of orienting around smells, which is, I guess, what we've both been doing with our events, right? It's like there's the vocabulary you're given by the industry, like sort of fragrance pyramids or top notes and bass notes or floral versus citrus. But there are other ways of thinking about what we might want from a scent. So, for example, going back to your point about putting on too much, some of us might be quite socially introverted and want something that hugs close and is comforting. And others of us want to sort of radiate forth and like, we're in this room, blah, 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 my scent's here. And
smell me.
So like the way, like the behavior of the scent as a shape in the air, like an invisible shape around you, is as important as like what ingredients do I like. So, you know, thinking of like what listeners could maybe, what you guys could do from listening to this show is, it's about like being comfortable with trying perfumes in loads of different mindsets. So not just what can I smell, what ingredients are here, but like how loud is it, or, you know, what sort of pitch is it at, or what texture is this scent? And the more we can kind of get comfortable with that and navigate, we'll hopefully also be going, well, hang on, what do I really want here? what is important to me at the moment.
It is really. It's a sort of a, it's finding that right center. It's sort of smile therapy. It's like a journey of self-discovery. What do I, going back to what we said right at the very beginning, like, am I wearing this for me? Or am I, you know, and I, am I wearing it for somebody else? It's like a big thing. And then, and good quality smiles are not cheap. That reminds me, so that is a quite a good way, if you don't know what your scent is, to go to a workshop where you get to smell lots and lots of scents, right? And play around with them. So how often do you do your workshops?
Oh, our workshops are on every weekend. We do about 5 a week. We do them externally as well. They're always very much fun when you do them with offices.
I was going to say, I know a lot of people who listen are taking a lot of the tips they're hearing and going into their offices and saying to their bosses, let's do this.
Yeah.
I bet good team bonding.
Oh, it's so
great thing to do, right?
It's because scent isn't something you talk about over your lunch, right? You'll talk about the TV content, the Netflix show you've watched, but you're not going to talk about scent. It's such an interesting way to discover another even further, because you spend so much time together at your work.
Yes.
To suddenly then talk about scent, and again, even your family members, when it comes to favorite scent, you will always come back with a brand or a product. It's never down to, okay, this is my favorite scent and these are the reasons. Actually, I've thought about it and this is it. It's always like, oh yeah, I know she likes this candle or this perfume. So it's a really nice, kind of 90-minute session where you more than just work with fragrances and oils and make a candle, you actually get to know the people you sit around the table with.
That sounds like a really good way to spend a very cold, depressing evening at the moment, especially. Yeah, last tip. I mean, you've given us so many tips, but is there anything else you would say to anyone? I mean, I think I've learned from you both is to not overthink it.
Yeah, I agree. Smells should be accessible and fun and not intimidating. And I think you need to find the way that you enjoy smell. So some of us are very verbal and we smell something and we want to describe it with language. And that gives us, you know, a hit and it's really exciting. But maybe you are responding in another way. So I remember like years ago doing an event where we got people with going back to modelling clay and plasticine. They were just making sculptures out of plasticine from scents. Maybe not something to do around the breakfast table, but you know, there are lots of different ways you can riff off of a smell and do things with it. So if you are more sort of visually minded or auditory minded sound, there are ways you're going to be able to enjoy a smell. And it's not just about, you know, as much as we've been talking about smell, it's not just about talking.
Yeah, it's about feeling.
Feel it.
Yes. Feeling.
Yeah.
And Nico?
I think my tip is not to doubt your skill. Everybody always goes like, oh, I can't smell. Don't doubt yourself. Just enjoy what it is and keep on trying if you feel like you're still struggling.
I love it. Right. Okay. Now, everyone is obviously going to want to know more about you both. So can you please tell us the best way we can follow you, Lizzie?
Instagram as Odette Toilette, or my website where I've got all my different sort of smell projects is odettetoilette.com.
And you, Nico?
You can find more about us on Instagram at Earl of East London and on our website, earloofeastlondon.com.
And huge thanks again to Annie. You can find her on Instagram at demamielskin. I'll be back again next week for our very final episode of the series. Quite sad about that. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the guests on this show, head over to virgin.com/podcasts. And please do get in touch with us. Let us know how our tips throughout the series have been helping you live life better. You can chat to us at Virgin using the hashtag LiveLifeBetter. Live Life Better is a Pixiu production for Virgin. Until next time from me, Melissa Hemsley, it's goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.